All right. So last week, ladies, we met up with Paul, and he had a beautiful prayer for his friends, the Philippians. And in the prayer, he had such sweet affection for his friends. He called them partners in the gospel and fellow partakers of grace. He also told them that he held them near and dear to his heart. Think of your best friend in the Lord or your spiritual mother or father, and they were being dragged off to prison. Imagine not wondering if they're okay or if they're sick or they're cold or they're hungry. And wouldn't you just be beside yourself with worry? Well, this was our friends, the Philippians, and they were in this predicament, and he's writing them to say not only thank you for sending the gift of money to help him out while he's in prison, but also to let them know that he's okay. What great friends these Philippians were. They cared for him because they shared in the growth of in because they shared in the growth of the gospel and in gospel service. Serving with one another builds the most amazing friendships. Haven't you had friends that you've served with over the years and they've moved on and you meet up and you get together and it's as if time doesn't pass? It's you just have a sweet connection. And that was Paul with his friends. And you know, they were concerned just like we would be concerned if one of our sisters or brothers at Gold River Calvary Chapel was struggling. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice. And here Paul sending back a letter to reassure them of some things. And let's start with chapter 1, verse 12. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul's desire was to share the gospel in Rome. It was an important city, and he wanted to see a great work. He wanted to see millions of people come to Christ. And couldn't you just hear a big screech and a thud when it said, well, you're going to be in Rome, but you're going to be in prison? So much for the gospel going out. You know, no, it can't possibly be that, God. Did you make a mistake? And as our sweet Anne always tells me, Debbie, but God. And in Isaiah 55:8, we read, and this is God talking to us, Debbie, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Paul's in prison. Prison, ladies. How could good come out of being imprisoned? And this looks like an epic failure, but he wanted to reassure his dear friends what has happened, being arrested, being put in prison, waiting for a trial, and not knowing the outcome. This has actually caused the gospel to advance. This is the bigger, better picture. And I like the NASB translation, it says, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He wanted the Philippians to know God was with him and still working. And for that, Paul had great joy. His joy wasn't in his circumstance, it was winning people to Christ. That was his great joy and the progress of the gospel. Now, just a refresher, and it's probably for me. But happiness is not the same as joy. I like the definition in my study Bible commentary. It says, in contrast to happiness stands joy. Running deeper and stronger, joy is a quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that He will be there no matter what. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. Let me repeat that. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. He will be with us, ladies, no matter what. So let me ask you, who do you think Paul relied on? Especially when we read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, it talks about all that Paul's gone through. And you could not have joy going through this stuff. So it only had to be the Lord. But here's Paul's resume. Imprisonments, beatings, near death, 5 times received at the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes, 3 times beaten, 1 stone, 3 times shipwrecked, adrift at sea, frequent journeys, dangers from rivers, robbers, his own dangers from his own people, the Gentiles in city and wilderness, nights of hunger, thirst, and cold. Now, that is quite a list, but listen to this. He adds, apart from other things, there is daily pressure of my anxiety for the churches. Paul is thinking about the churches during this time too. I don't know about you guys, but I'd be all about me. We could ask ourselves, was Paul happy to go through these things? Well, I don't think anyone could endure these things without the strength of Christ. And I don't think anyone could come out with joy if it wasn't for the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago on Wednesday nights, Manny taught on John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches. And this is key. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It can only come from clinging to Christ. To be in his word, telling him everything, surrendering ourselves to him, accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer. Paul had to have done this, and we can't do these things on our own. Paul didn't say, God's not working, God's failed me, we'll never make it. Paul knew his God. Our God is faithful, and if we cling to him, ladies, it says if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. Not little squeaky, pruny fruit, but big joy and big love and big peace. God tells us that. And to abide is to remain, to endure, and continue. Let's look at, I have a couple promises about when we abide. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We will be under the Lord's covering, ladies, when we abide with him. Isaiah 32:18, my people will abide in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and quiet resting places. Doesn't that sound like the place you want to be? And in 2 John 9, it says, when we abide, we have the Father and Son with us. Ladies, we have the dynamic duo with us when we abide in him. God is with us. And haven't we all had those times of struggle and suffering and years later to see the good that God has brought out of it? He's never left us. It may work out differently in our expectations, but he never drops us. He may stretch us a little and he may grow us. And sometimes we feel like he's dangling us, right? But it says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you, ladies. That's never. And, I think when we're done with the trial, we might be a little wiser and a little stronger and a little more familiar with God's faithfulness. And like Paul said, all he went through was to advance the gospel growth in our lives and in others. And while we're going through these things, people are watching and people are listening. This is the gospel growth in their lives as well. Paul's being watched and the people in prison were listening. People were coming to faith and growing in their faith. Seeds were being planted all over the place. In verse 13, it shows in verse 13 through 18, how the gospel was advancing, and it shows in four different ways. First, it was to the whole imperial guard, and then it says to all the rest. And then the brothers had more boldness to speak out, that sharing the gospel, right? And then last, even the brothers who mean harm to Paul were speaking about Jesus. And verse 13 through 18, it says, so that the gospel has become known through the whole imperial guard and all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And the next it goes on to say, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and for that I rejoice. The verse 18 is key here too. Christ is being proclaimed no matter what, to the whole imperial guard, to the rest, through the brothers being more bold, and last, even the brothers with wrong intentions. Paul was chained to those guards, possibly three or four shifts, 24/7. And I think it was for like 2 years. And what Paul was doing, he was sharing and sharing about his favorite subject. Who was it, ladies? Jesus, right? And I bet the rumor mill was swirling too. You wonder if the guards were going home to their families saying, you know, you got to hear about this guy, Paul, in prison. He's talking about, he knows the one true God, and this one true God loves him and saves him from eternal death. And he wants everyone to know the love of God and that he could save them. And this Paul, he wants to stay in prison. He wants to share with everybody he can be around. And he's not even arguing about his rights or wanting to get out. And this Paul, he was once a so-called killer of these Christians that he professes to be. He has so much joy. It's the weirdest thing. I don't get it. And Paul, he even sings in prison. Strange. Do you remember those weird Christians before you were saved? And in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Ladies, Paul is proclaiming the excellence of him who called him out of darkness into the marvelous light. Everyone who would listen. Paul did that. He had joy. People were coming to visit him. He talked about Jesus all the time. He was in chains. And so what's the deal with this? And he even sings in prison. One of the commentaries I was reading said our lives as Christians are the lenses which Jesus is seen. People were watching and listening, and this was God's way of spreading his good news to maybe a people that might have never heard it. The seeds of God's words are testimonies are being scattered all over the place. Luke 18:12, it's the story of the sower and the seed. It says, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and the ones along the paths are those who have heard. So the ones along the path, it could be a jail cell, it could be in a courtroom, it could be in a dinner table, it could be in a hospital bed. The list goes on and on. In fact, I was telling my husband, my kids were chained to me for 18 years and I got to share the gospel with them. So that to me, it's a relief because now that gospel seed is in them and it is going to bear fruit someday. So don't underestimate the value of sharing your testimony, sharing your story, sharing your chains, the chains and in your chains, how God is working in your life, how God is encouraging you or keeping you. It's all for the furtherance of the gospel. And this is going to be spread far beyond anything we ever imagine. To a people watching and listening. And don't forget, Paul in his chains had contact with Caesar's court, and he also was writing letters during this time. So the gospel was getting out in those ways as well. Now, I want to take a moment to think about Paul's mission being sidelined. Paul could have thought he was sidelined, but his being sidelined, as we see, was a blessing for too many to count. And like Father Abraham, neither one of them probably realized what an impact their lives would have been. And they just did what was right in front of them. Were they always perfect? Well, we studied Abraham on Sunday mornings. He was not perfect, but you know what? This should encourage us because God can work despite us, ladies. Sometimes when we're sidelined, we think it's a wash because we think, how can this be God's plan? But that's not the case, and it wasn't the case with Paul. On my Instagram account, this book came up and it was titled, When You Don't Like Your Story. I had to crack up. I thought that was the funniest title. Now, I wouldn't recommend the book because I haven't read it, but there were two things that stood out to me. It said, what if God doesn't want us to rip out the difficult stories, but to repurpose them for good? And then the other thing, what if the worst part of your story might be just what God wanted to use the most? Haven't we all felt sidelined in our lives, chained in prison? My hero, and I'm sure many of you, Corrie Ten Boom, could have given up when she was in the concentration camp, when her father and sister died, but God took her and used her far beyond anything I think she ever imagined. And you know, she was old. I'm like, after being in a concentration camp, I'd be like, okay, could you take me to closest rest home? And I'm just going to do crafts the rest of my life. But you know, she didn't. The Lord used her in an amazing way. And just recently, I read the story of Anna in the book of Luke, who became a widow at a very young age. I think she was only married like 7 years, and I don't think she didn't have any kids. And Anna devoted herself to service in the church and fasting and prayer. Ladies, we can all do that. You know, we can all pray for whatever the Lord puts on our heart. And this reminds me of the Jesus movement back in the 60s. When that was exploding, they were saying to these older women, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how this is happening. And these women are like, we've been praying for this for years. So ladies, don't ever discount, you know, your prayer ministry. And I just heard Chuck Smith's daughter recently say when he was going through chemo, in his latter days, and he could have felt sidelined, but he said, well, now this is my mission field. I didn't choose it, but God did. So sometimes our chains takes us to areas where we never imagined. What if our sidelined days are the most fruitful and we don't even know it? And finally, one more bit of encouragement. When COVID hit, I'm sure you guys all felt this way too. I felt completely sidelined. You know, I like to be busy and I like to be doing the work of the Lord and whatever, you know, and I just felt sidelined. And this quote, like shortly after COVID hit, I found it says, take a step back, feed your soul and sharpen your sword. To me, this meant in your slow time, Deb, dig deep, feed on the word, and sharpen your sword. Prepare for the unknown. Warren Wiersbe in his commentary called Paul single-minded, and we can learn from that. He said, the secret is this. When you have a single mind, you look on your circumstances as God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel, and you rejoice as what God is going to do instead of complaining about what God did not do. Oh my gosh, ladies, that was a knife to my heart. I need to stop complaining. I need to sharpen my sword more. And like Paul, let's dedicate our lives to the Lord every day, even if you feel like you're in prison. Pray and look for the ministry around you. It's probably something simple. Feed on the word, sharpen your sword. You're doing this, ladies, by being here. And God wants us to use each one of us to share his gospel. It may be big or it may be small, but it's all big to him. It's important. And just like Paul, think about who's right next to you. Sometimes it might feel as if they're chained to you. And hey, you know what? They're a captive audience. So share Jesus, Jesus, Jesus to them. Not only was the gospel advancing in the Roman prison, but scripture tells us that instead of cowering and hiding, the believers were drawing strength from Paul's imprisonment. And it says in verse 14, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. David Guzik shares in his commentary about the brothers. They saw Paul had joy in the midst of his trial. They saw God would take care of Paul in such circumstances, and they saw that God could still use Paul even when he was in prison. When we see others thriving in their faith, it gives us the courage to press on. Our trials can awaken a confidence in us that we never thought we had. If Paul hadn't been in prison, others may not have taken up the mantle to carry on. Sometimes the answer is, it's your turn now and you're it. And so I like what Matthew Henry says on this verse. It says, they were more fully satisfied and persuaded by what they saw. Observe the power of divine grace, that which was intended by the enemy to discourage the preachers of the gospel, was overruled for their encouragement, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They see the worst of it, and therefore not afraid to venture. Their confidence gave them courage, and their courage preserved them for the power of fear. Another one of my heroes of the faith, Elizabeth Elliot, is a great example of this too. She and Jim were missionaries, and he was killed by the very people that they were ministering, trying to take the gospel to. And Elizabeth and her toddler daughter went back to the very area, the very people that brutally murdered her husband. That's courage, ladies, that only God could give. Now let's move on to verses 15 through 18. Paul points out that there's some murky waters here in these next couple verses, and he wants to encourage the church to keep focused and to keep unified. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to inflict my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and for that I rejoice. There was competition and bad motives. Some were preaching from goodwill, some out of envy, rivalry, and selfish ambition, all to affect Paul's imprisonment. Some of the believers picked up the mantle, and others wanted to serve their own selfish purposes. And Paul just wanted everyone to just follow Christ. If you have kids, have you ever said that? Could you just get along? Well, Paul's saying, could you just follow Christ? But the others wanted to gain a following of their own. In today's church, there's so many things that are done out of envy and selfish ambition. Wanting to be number one, wanting to be seen, wanting money, wanting power, wanting a large following, fighting and bickering about the dumbest thing. And the list probably goes on and on. Why? Because we're human. Isn't it said that sometimes the church is no different than the world? Well, this can be a warning to me to keep my heart right and to keep my motives right. The enemy wants to derail us, ladies, through selfish ambition and hatred. And Galatians, Paul tells us that envy is the work of the flesh. Galatians 5:25-26, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Isn't it hard not to get irritated at those people? It's like, you know, God calls us the bride of Christ. It's like two brides in beautiful bride's dress in a fist fight, not an attractive sight. Paul's just saying, get along, guys, and don't get caught up with this thing. Here's a really cool example. It's historic record that the two great evangelists, John Wesley and George Whitefield, disagreed on doctrinal matters. Both of them were very successful, preaching to thousands of people, seeing multitudes come to Christ. It was reported that somebody asked Wesley if he expects to see Whitefield in heaven. And the evangelist said, no, I don't. And the person said, you do not think Whitfield is a converted man? Of course he's a converted man, Wesley said, but I do not expect to see him in heaven because he's going to be so close to the throne of God and I'm going to be so far in the back that I won't be able to see him. Though he differed with his brother in some matters, Wesley did not have envy in his heart, nor did he seek to oppose Whitfield's ministry. So the people Paul's talking about just had their motives off. They were different or a little wonky, but whatever you call it. Now, something that isn't this is you don't want a different gospel. And this isn't a different gospel. A different gospel is when they're teaching a different Jesus. And this is what Galatians 1:8 says about that. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a different gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Preaching a different Jesus is a serious thing. Saying things like Jesus isn't really who he says he is, or Jesus didn't really die on the cross, or, you know, those are the false teachers. This isn't what we're talking about, but I wanted you guys to know that Jesus, they were preaching Jesus. And here's our last couple of scriptures Paul's writing his friends about the possibilities that await him, life or death. It says to live is Christ, verse 18b. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul says, yes, I will rejoice after all that, missing all of you, all that has happened to me, my imprisonment, facing those with wrong motives, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I will rejoice after all that, he says. And he goes on to say in verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul has confidence that God will get him through. And he's rejoicing because he knows that God is going to get him through. And how is that? Verse 19, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit. Prayers are so important. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. As sisters in Christ, we are to continually pray steadfastly, watchful and thankful for one another. And John 5:13 says, tells us to pray for all who are suffering. If there is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. If you are suffering, don't stay silent. You need to tell somebody, and we will pray for you. But last but not least, James 5:16, your prayers matter and are doing a great work. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. That's one of my favorites. We are all righteous before the Lord because we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and our prayers are effective and powerful. I love our prayer chain. And ladies, if you need prayer anytime, you can go to our website, you can text any of us, and we can put you on the prayer chain. And we have prayed for people that have cancer. We have prayed for people having surgery, needing jobs, people that had COVID, prodigal kids. And like I shared this morning, you guys all know our wonderful Danielle Baldwin. We prayed her through we prayed her through nursing school. We prayed her through the boards. And now we prayed her to a job at Kaiser Permanente. And they are blessed to have her. So we can see the fruit of our prayers, lady. And I think someday when we get to heaven, we're going to see, you know, all those beautiful fruit from our prayers. So prayer is necessary and effective. And not only does Paul rely on prayer of the saints, but he relies on the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us holy and it makes us more like Christ. And that's 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Holy Spirit fills you with hope to overflowing. It's not just little hope, it's overflowing hope, ladies. The Holy Spirit, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. Gosh, it's like, it's just not little hope, it's overflowing hope. And then the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, you know, and so much more. And I love, we cover Romans 8, 26 and 27, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes for the saints and according to the will of God. That is so cool. And you know, if you need this, just pray, Holy Spirit, help. Pray Romans 8, 26 and 27. Lord, I'm weak. I need your spirit. I need your help. And finally, this is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in John before he's going up to heaven to be with the Father. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Ladies, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He says he will declare to you all the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Holy Spirit. All that we need will come from the Spirit. And Paul knew this and relied on it. Prayer and the Spirit, he said, were for his deliverance. Deliverance from what he was going through. And Paul said in his final words in tonight's scripture, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed. Paul had every confidence that he would live out his life here on earth. He knew God knew what he was doing, and Paul was not ashamed that God would fail. God would not fail. And if it was time for him to go to heaven, it would be Christ's plan. But if it wasn't, and he was supposed to stay here on earth, nothing could stop God's plan here on earth. And Paul knew that. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul wanted his friends to know, live for Christ, and if you die, it's a bonus. We see this in Paul's story, and he wanted the Philippians to know. And it's as if Paul's saying, look, guys, I'm in prison. Look at all the ways the gospel is going out, unexpected ways. I'm getting to share. People are talking. There's brothers taking up the mantle and sharing. There's these goofballs who think they're getting back at me, but ha, 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 God's going to make good of it. And all of this, God is working out his good plan. And woohoo, God's great gospel is going out. So friends, keep praying. The Holy Spirit will give me and you what we need. Don't be ashamed. He will do his great work. And people, live for Christ. Go all out, fall into his great grace and mercy. It's worth it. And if we don't make it, guess what? We'll get to see Jesus face to face. Ladies, whatever interruptions, whatever prisons God has in our lives, let's look to God and see what great plans he has for us and what gospel, and to watch the gospel work itself out. I think all know the story of our Manny and I's first daughter, Bethany. She hit, we were married a year and I was pregnant, and I got toxemia, and she was born under 2 pounds. She lived for 9 months in the hospital and then died. And it would be 31 years ago, April 20th, the day after Manny's birthday, that she had passed away. And needless to say, this was an awful interruption. It was a prison, and I never wanted to experience it. But during this time, we were able to share our faith with countless situations. And I remember one time there was a social worker, and you could say she was chained to us. She was sitting right next to us, and she looks at us and she goes, how do you do it? The social worker, the trained professional, is asking us that. And all we could say was, if it wasn't for the Lord, there's no way we could get through this. And we were thankful for that. And, you know, I mean, maybe someday we'll see her come up to us and say in heaven, hey, thanks for sharing with me. You know, you just never know. Ladies, our prisons and sufferings aren't for nothing. God works out a greater good in our lives to those watching. One of my new favorite songs is Do It Again. And we sing it on Sundays and it starts, walking around these walls, I thought by now they fall. And I love the line, your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet. You've never failed me yet. Ladies, God has never failed us yet, and he never will. And like Paul, who encouraged his friends, he encourages us. Ladies of Gold River Calvary Chapel, keep praying, keep accessing the Holy Spirit for everything. Don't be ashamed. God will do his great work. Let's live as Christ. That means for the gospel good and gospel growth in your situations, your prisons, your trials, whatever you want to call it, fall into his great grace and mercy. It's worth it. And if we don't make it, guess who we get to see face to face, right? We get to see our Lord and Savior face to face. So, ladies, I hope you're blessed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And God, just take us into these group times so that we can have some sweet conversations. And Lord, if anyone is in a prison and in a struggle, Lord, all we can do, Lord, help us, Lord. We need you, and help us to fall on your grace and mercy. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.